This coming Shabbos, we have the honor and privilege of reading Shiras HaZinu and Parshas HaZinu, and we're called, we begin and we are told, Atzur Tamim Po'alo Kichol Derachav Mishpat, all of the ways of Hashem are just. Now, how is it possible that we can praise Hashem as not perverting justice? We expect human beings not to pervert justice, and we wouldn't necessarily praise a judge for not perverting justice. So what's pshat over here? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, the famous Reb Itzala Petterberger, that the pasuk is highlighting the difference between human judgment and divine judgment. When humans try to exact justice, it's impossible to achieve perfection. They have general rules to follow, but the punishment never exactly matches the violation. Hashem's judgment is completely perfect. All reward and punishment follows exactly what we deserve in the proper proportion. We're told, Shiches lo lo banav mumam. Destruction is not his, it's his children's. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Zaks, the author of Menachem Tzion, suggests that lo lo represents someone who wavers in his emunah and commitment to Hashem. He is someone committed, but not fully. Such behavior will result in children with a spiritual blemish, and their beliefs will be tangled in knots. Dori kesh uf salto. We're told, Zechor Yemos Olam Binu Shnos Dor Vador, remember the days of old and reflect on the years of each generation. And the first pasuk teaches us the importance of remembering history, but the next phrase seems redundant. Binu Shnos Dor Vador, understand each and every generation, it's just a poetic repetition of the previous phrase. Or perhaps it's teaching us something new. So again, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Zaks, the Menachem Tzion, and Yaakov Menachem suggests that Shnos doesn't come from the word Shana, or repeat, but rather Shoneh, or different. And so therefore, Shnos doesn't mean years, but also it means a difference. Our obligation is to understand the difference between one generation and the next. We're told, Kineshi Ya'ir Kino Al Gozalav Yirachef. We're told, like an eagle, Bnei Yisrael are protected by Hashem. What does it mean that Hashem's like an eagle? After all, eagles take the hit as they protect their young. But Hashem doesn't take hits. So Rav Zundel Kurtzner, the author of the Orachama, notes that while Hashem doesn't get attacked by humans, he is prepared to take hits on the arguments as to why he doesn't show the same face to one group that serves Avodah Zarah as opposed to another, as he did on the shores of the Yamsuf. Ve'halalu ovdei Avodah Zarah, ve'halalu ovdei Avodah Zarah. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to take the hits in order to be able to protect Bnei Yisrael. Later in the Shir, we're told by Yishman Yishurun Vayivat that Yishurun became fat and kicked. So Mori Rabbi Roshachta would often quote in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the challenge of wealth has often been a bigger threat to Judaism and religious practice than poverty. For some reason, Jews often have a hard time combining Tala Shamayim with Mishmani Aretz. And even in Eretz Yisrael, which boasts some of the greatest progress known to man, the ability to keep basic marital laws has proved to be overwhelming. Our job, therefore, is quite the opposite. We need to understand, with the success, we have to turn around and use the success and the wealth in order to be able to become closer to Hashem. We spoke a lot about this over Yom HaKippurim when we talked about Yonah and why it was that he tried to run away to Tarshish. The fact of the matter is, Tarshish was a place of wealth. Yonah thought that by running to wealth, he'd be able to run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but quite the opposite. He was running towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're told, Ki lo dabar reikumi kem ki uchayechem. It's not an empty thing for you, it's your life. Avigdor Nebenzahl notes that while things in this world need estimates and the evaluations are not always 100% equal between two estimators, it's rare to have someone evaluate the worth of something at hundreds of thousands and yet another one declares the same item worthless. Torah is the exception. To those who get its worth, it's more precious than life. But to those who don't value Torah, Torah is worthless, and so hence the extremes in the pasuk. We're also told, Allah Sharma Altambi, that Moshe and Aaron are going to die here because they betrayed me. Now, the real question is, do we really mean betrayed? Do we really betray Hashem? Maybe we didn't totally sanctify. But why are we using such a strong rebuke? That sounds like a little bit of a stretch. Sir Moshe Feinstein explained that when one doesn't strive to grow in Torah and mitzvah observance, he or she is not merely stagnating, he or she is actually trespassing and sinning. And so Hashem's strong wording to Moshe notes that he was rebelling against Hashem. Finally, in the Haftorah, which is the Haftorah that only gets read when Parshas HaZinu is read after Yom HaKippurim. On the surface, the song of the Haftorah, which is a song of praise, is wildly different from the song of prophecy that is Shiras HaZinu. So why then is it chosen as the appropriate one for the Haftorah this week? So my friend Rav Gideon Weitzman Shalita of Machon Puah suggested that the song of praise and the song of prophecy really need each other. Mundane praise is raised as a result of prophecy, yet prophecy is connected and people use it to direct their awareness and sing praise. The prophecy takes the word of Hashem to us. The praise song allows us to reconnect to Him. That's the beautiful symbiosis that's supposed to come into place at this point in time. And with God's help, as we walk out of Yom HaKippurim and into the holiday of Sukkos, may we do so together, arm in arm, in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us only great things in the upcoming year ahead. Shabbat Shalom, and a Gittin Kvittel to all.